We were on the NRCS, the documents handed to us, and of course this is simply the tabling of the documents. So there's nothing outstanding that I'm aware of, is there, Mr. Hermans?
Chair, we also received a report from DTI. As part of that request on Friday.
Right. We are. Are we? Do we agree? We've got all the outstanding information requested, yes. Members. Yes. Right. That's all the outstanding NRCS and the report to the Portfolio Committee, also from the DTI. Then I wanted to ask you, Mr. Hermans, where Miss the Advocate Charmaine van der Merwe is. All right, we'll just give her a time to walk across from another committee where she is. So we will then deal with the minutes, consideration of minutes. While we're waiting for the advocate to join us for 5 minutes. Where is that? Okay. No. Right. Page one, these are 25th November, is this correct? Everyone got them? Right. No, we're not wasting time. Where is the first? I don't, unless they all together, are they? Are doing it. That's fine. It's here on my desk. Right. Honourable Mkongi.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're dealing with the 25th of November, is it?
I was just clarifying where the attendance register was for Tuesday the 1st. They're not here. But then I looked at the others here, which does have a transcript attached.
And some don't. So, Ms. Makanda, will you just inform Busi on that? But I still want to see Mr. Madima physically here. Right. On the 1st of November, the matters were dealt with on a Tuesday. We had a number of members present, but we also had a number of apologies. The Honourable Hill Lewis, Honourable Mantash, Albert, Shivambu, Esterhazen. Right. And then on page two, the issues were consideration of many minutes, the briefing by the DTI on the liquor policy, Just remind me, Ms. Saraj, Ms. Naidu, what is the status of this liquor policy as we talk? Did it get an extension at the public hearing or what?
The bill got an is extended until the 15th of December, public comments.
Right. So the minister has extended the time for public input into that and comments until the 15th of December. So clearly that would only even see the light of day back at the ministry the end of the month, and it would then require consolidation and review. So we would not even expect to see that right now or in January, possibly March, you know, or something along those lines. Is that correct? Right. Yes, Honourable Mkongi.
And then when are we expected also as Parliament to go on public hearings on this particular bill?
You're talking about the bill on liquor? Well, we will have public hearings, but I've learnt that there are a number of challenges with programming and getting the bill here, partly because we are such a democracy, and when we hear from the public and when the executive does get this general outpouring of a request for more time, it accedes to it because we're a democracy and it wants to ensure that everyone has sufficient time. So, of course, had we not been a democracy, we could have had it on the table a year ago. But we are a democracy, which is great news. And I expect that we may see it only in May. I think it's about that time, May, June. We may get it earlier. Right. And what I would like members to do during the extended break is to take some time to just peruse.
I'm not sure if you have answered what Honourable Mkong was asking.
Was he not asking about public hearings in Parliament? Well, we can't hold them until the bill's here. You see, so I thought 6 months ago we were under the impression the bill would be here in November. But we just learnt, as I explained, that this is going to be a longer process because it's not even going to leave the executive before May. That's, so I'm sure that's clear then. Right. The I'm asking members during the extended break to peruse the BBBEE and link this up with their constituents. Then there's the National Liquor Regulator, the capacity there, which, you know, have you even gone through that document as it stands? The codes of good practice for BBBEE. And when you're in your constituency, and some of you are in deep rural areas, I think it's pertinent to make people aware of impending legislation and hear what they have to say. Because we have a program in Parliament which encourages everyone to make an input, all communities, and if they are impoverished, we have a witness program which pays for their attendance here. Now, I'm saying this to some of you who may not have always known that. And you've got the time now to meet up with these constituents and assess the situation. So I'm asking you to do that, right? Page 3. Committee deliberated minimum legal drinking age. I wonder if I qualify. Let me see. Right. Then the cost of liquor, etc. Role of licensing authorities, transformation on the liquor industry, the impact of advertising. The resolution is important. The DTI should furnish it with related, with a related empirical study done in other African states in relation to the minimum legal drinking age. You will recall the reason for us being very specific, because we do have studies from Europe. We do have studies from America and Australia. But what about our own continent, Africa and region? The DTI, the second resolution, so we'll have to follow that up. Did we write a letter?
We've got it. Gotcha.
Mm. The DTI should provide information on the latest impact on health, on health of the youth who drink when they are under the prescribed age limit. That arises from the statement made by the DDG that there was a study conducted whose conclusion was that the brain and thinking capacity, the cognitive capacity of a person is not completed until they are, 21, 25. I raise the issue as I retain my interest in these matters, having trained in that and specialized in neuropsychology. I haven't seen the study, and obviously there are studies and studies, and some refer to correlations and not causes. So I wanted to see the study that made such a significant claim. Right. Having said that, we'll just pass these so that we don't delay the advocate van der Merwe. And then you'll see page 4. And then you will, and we must follow that up with the DDG. Where is the study? Have I got it?
Yeah.
Right. I'll study that myself. Now, we've got the attendance register. Does it reflect what you know? Right. Someone to propose the adoption of the minutes. Thanks, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Van Schalkwyk. We are going to, because Advocate van der Merwe is also in another committee at this time, we do need to just switch across to the memorandum. Do you agree, members? Thank you, Honourable Esterhazen, thank you. Right. We weren't too sure, because I know energy is also sitting. Right, to come back then to the consideration of the memorandum on the submission of a legislative proposal. Honourable Williams, you're right at the back there, and you're chairing. We normally have other chairs here. I don't know where the chair is. Where's the other chair? Well, can you just rather come here where you can be seen? You're delivering this as the chairperson of the study group. Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. Honourable Williams, can I then hand over to you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson and committee, we move from the committee, the subcommittee on debt relief measures. We submitted this document to the committee last week, and I believe you all got copies of it last week. That's correct. So basically, as you can see before you, this is the memorandum that we're asking permission from Parliament so that we can continue with creating legislation to assist the over-indebted society that we live in. And I put it to you that we adopt this report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, I do like people to be succinct. However, what I would have liked, because this is a very serious memorandum that your subcommittee has undertaken, is I would have liked you to have just taken us at least, you know, page by page and just, you know, take out or highlight the critical issues.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, on page 1, fundamentally, the first section is we look at the particulars of the bill. In particular, but but this is not limited to, but in particular, we want to simplify and more rigorously enforce the Act. This was the National Credit Act. B, we want to criminalize criminal prosecution of lenders who contravene the Act. C, legal certainty on the in duplum debt accumulation. D, an effective debt counseling framework for lower income workers. And E, capped credit relief to promote a change in the borrowing and spending habits of an over-indebted society. And then, so that's the fundamental core of what we want to, what we're saying the bill should address. And then, the background and objectives of the bill, we need the National Credit Amendment Act aims to tighten measures related to the credit, such as tightening measures related to debt counseling, remove adverse consumer credit information under certain circumstances, create payment distribution agents and alternative dispute resolution agents, and provide for prescribed debts to not be claimable under any circumstances. If we turn to page 2, according to the South African Reserve Bank quarterly bulletin for June 2016, as a percentage of disposable income, household debt was 76.6% in the first quarter of 2016. This shows that consumers are over-indebted and that this is a result of the number of economic conditions or practices that are currently prevailing in the country, some of which are retrenchments, leading to, amongst other challenges, such as debt shortfall, a debtor duly pays off a large portion of their mortgage, and therefore when they get retrenched, they've got this little bit left, but they could lose that house or that asset because they haven't paid the full amount. Consumers who do not understand their rights and obligations that accompany credit or the cost of credit results in them becoming over-indebted. This is quite a big one, so people just sign the bottom, you know, just sign a debt contract but don't realize how what obligations they have, and therefore they run into problems. If we move to page 3, one of the biggest problems we're facing is continuing reckless lending by credit providers and the practical challenges related to declaring a credit agreement reckless. So in other words, then, we've got massive amounts of reckless lending taking place, but to prove that, it becomes very difficult and time-consuming. And so this process is basically, currently, is running very slowly. The department is also, I'm reading from page 3, the department is also considering various debt forgiveness measures, but the committee is of the view that over-indebtedness must urgently be addressed and that it is vital that the targeted interventions not be delayed. Accordingly, the committee is requesting permission to prepare a draft bill in this regard. The last paragraph is the financial implications to the state on page 3. And then on page 4, the view of the executive on the objects of the proposed legislation, that's the last paragraph. Debt forgiveness has been a topic of a number of discussions with the department. The department will also be involved in the development of a bill so that the committee bill does not propose a measure that cannot be implemented or that would be detrimental to the economy of the country. The department is accordingly in support of the proposal for the bill and to be prepared by the committee. And then the report to be considered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Williams. And just for the record, you, Honourable Alberts was not in the committee, the subcommittee, because he's on party business leave. But it was you have yourself and...
Chairperson, the people that make up the subcommittee, this subcommittee is myself, Honourable Mantash, and Honourable Hill Lewis, and Honourable Alberts, but he'll come again.
Thank you very much. Advocate van der Merwe, just on a couple of the issues here, for the new members who perhaps joined us this year in Duplum, just clarify that. And if you would, as the head of the drafting unit in Parliament, clarify if this process has been conducted correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Maybe to quickly just discuss the one Latin term in the report, the in duplum. What that simply means, in short, is that the interest amount that is charged on a capital debt may never exceed the amount, the capital amount of the debt. So, for instance, if a person owes 10 rand and there is a monthly interest of 1 rand that is added, the moment the interest reaches 10 rand, it can't proceed past that 10 rand of the capital. It's a very simplified example that I'm giving you. There's a lot more around the topic, and that is why the subcommittee said that it's necessary to look into this and make sure that it is clear, because there are questions about whether legal fees, for instance, should also form part of this interest, and so on. So then just in respect of a committee bill, this report is, in fact, the first formal step in a committee doing a committee bill. So what has happened up to now is, in fact, that this committee has done quite a lot more than is required, in the sense that this committee has already started seeing some stakeholders to ascertain the need and ascertain possible solutions and so on. And taking all of that into account, this has then culminated in this report that is starting to give a guide of what possible committee legislation would look like. It might be that after the House gives permission, the House can either give permission or say no, they do not support that this committee does a committee bill, or they can give permission with conditions. So what we suspect, one of the conditions, for instance, might involve the financial implications, because on page 3 of the report, we have made mention that there will have to be an impact assessment to consider financial implications of any debt relief measure proposed. Well, informally, at least, I know the department has indicated that they will assist the committee in respect of that impact assessment. But that might be, for instance, a condition that the House sets, to say that you must have this impact assessment before you proceed with the bill. But then that is what we will get, and we will then look at the actual bill to be developed. So the next step is for the House to consider this report, give us the permission to proceed, and then from there on, the committee, and I think in this instance with the subcommittee as the working group, will then start looking at what must go into a bill. It is a little bit more involved than most committee bills, in that we will be looking at a policy. So we will be looking at what it is that we want, and then we will word that into a bill. And then this committee will be at all times part of the process of developing that bill. Should I maybe just explain the ending of it? Once that bill has in fact then been developed and this committee is satisfied with that bill, it will then go to the House to be introduced. And then that is the end of this committee's involvement in that bill. So this bill, you will never see an introduced bill. You are working on the bill that is to be introduced. Once it is introduced, joint tagging mechanism will do the classification, and then it will go for its second reading and go to the second House.
Thank you very much. I must point out to the committee, while this is the second time I have been chair of this portfolio committee, it is the first time I have been part of such a process. So that is why I think it's important that we all clearly understand what it is we are doing. On that note then, we need officially to move. Yes, Honourable Mkong?
I think, Chairperson, first of all, we must welcome the report from the subcommittee. But I just wanted to propose some tightening. If you look at page 1, we need to close those brackets, because they are confusing. Look at particulars of the bill. The bill aims to amend the National Credit Act 2005, Act number 34 of 2005, so as to provide for A. Now we need to close.
No, no. It's A. I mean, B.
what I'm proposing. I'm saying if we don't close those brackets, it's going to be confusing. Can you see? The brackets must be closed.
Let me just, I hear what you're saying. May I make a little proposal? It's more a style and semantic one rather than a substantive one. And I think it would address the issue. After four, put a colon. And then take us down the equivalent of bullet by bullet. A, B, C. You know? And so you move. All right. So it, as I said, it's not substantive, but then it ensures that everyone, including myself, has a clear understanding. But thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mkongi.
I also want to propose, still on page one, background. The National Credit Amendment Act aimed to tighten measures related to credit, such as, now when you say tighter, let's have bullets. Tighter measures, bullet, removing bullet, creating. So, in order, there must be anything.
Point is also taken. No, it just shows that we are applying our minds here. Right, next one.
Also on page two, after you have finished, consumers with impaired records account to approximately 40% of the credit active consumers. Ne? And then bullets. Yes, and then the judgment and administrative must bullets. And then we can go further.
And you want it under what else, yeah?
According to the South African Reserve Bank, you can finish that, ne? You've got A, and then we can say retrenchments A, consumers B, and then credit life insurance C, and then continue to regulations D.
Very good.
Very good again. I think, look, it's the same style. I'm sure we all appreciate that, right? And although a bill that I think we can leave, am I correct? And the department, again, we can allow. Yes, Honorable Mkongi?
I want us to have consistency, ne? Also on page three, financial implications for the state.
Yeah.
Are we talking about debt forgiveness or are we talking about debt relief? Because you are saying that any debt forgiveness measure will have financial. Now, we must have an understanding what are we talking about now there. Because there's a lot of debt forgiveness that are coming down. Can you read that, Chairperson?
No, I am there with you.
Yes, yeah, so I think clarity is needed.
Just a minute.
I will then turn to Honourable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it was agreed in the subcommittee that anything that referred to debt forgiveness would then be termed capped debt relief. So I don't know why it doesn't say so in this document. But it should all talk about anything that talks of debt relief is now called, under this document, capped debt relief.
Well, give us the formulation.
I don't understand. All right, well, let me read it to you like this. It'll say, any capped debt relief measure on page financial implications for the state. Any cap debt relief measure. Yes. And then if you go down to the anywhere where it says debt forgiveness, it must now say cap debt relief.
Well, you see, that should have been brought to our attention, but I know you spoke to me verbally,
yes.
But it shows. Now we're picking this up.
Thank you.
In fact, I don't think we've got a problem at all when members are on the ball. No, thank you. So what we need, let's get this clear now. Where you read the phrase, and Honourable Hill Lewis, I mean, you were also in that subcommittee, any debt forgiveness measure, if that's what it's saying here, it should read any capped debt relief. Is that right?
Measure.
Any capped debt relief? A measure. Are we all agreed? And I would request that our advocate here, Van der Merwe, go through this with a fine tooth comb so that we ensure we haven't got anything incorrect. Because we do know the intention of the subcommittee. Right. On that note, then, we do need, and not members, yes, Honorable Mkongi?
No, the last one is numbering.
Mine is numbered. I don't know which one you've got. It is numbered. Oh, the page numbers. Well, of course, I mean, this is coming from a subcommittee, and when it comes from the committee, it will definitely have the correct footnote, footer, and everything. Is that agreed? And I regard that as Mr. Herman's final, touch. All right? Okay. No. But, Honorable Mkongi, I appreciate what you do. Because in the end, I carry the can, and you have prevented me from carrying the can here. Thank you. Right. Now, the person who moves cannot be a member of the subcommittee. I hope that is quite clear. I have someone to move. Now the hands shot up. Honorable Mkongi, are you finally moving it?
Yes, Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the report.
I always prefer all committees to participate, Honorable Yesterhazen, unless they have an objection.
Madam Chair, thank you. Unfortunately, I've missed a few of your committees for the reasons that you've known. And I've just read this, and if I can just maybe give my 2 cents worth of input on this. The South African growth and the whole economy actually hinges on spending, and unfortunately there's big companies that try to force for their own benefit that says not even proof of income is required. And everything here now, we've seen the state implications, but the financial institutions in this country that's already very heavily burdened, regulated. There's really not actually, the consumer stays the victim in most cases, but there's not really any protection for the banks, for the financial institutions. Thank you.
Well, if I may just address that, this was addressed when they first came with the initial report, and you were here when they first came with the first draft, as it were, not so much a draft report, but a report, verbal report. And that issue was raised by someone. And they said, no, the issue is this, the institution, whoever that is, or the individual, the microlender, for example, they need, because of the law, and to comply with the law, they are required to call for remuneration, not a telephonic proof, but proof. Physical proof of remuneration. They are required to call for physical proof of address, etc. The third thing is, there is a clause, and I think I just want Advocate Van der Merwe to confirm this, which does refer to reckless lending in the principle. What do you recall the import of it?
The Act says that requires of lenders to do a certain assessment before they enter into an agreement, and then if an agreement then is entered into and they shouldn't have entered into, that is a reckless agreement, and it can be declared so by the court or the tribunal.
Right. Now the problem is some of our reputable institutions have not complied since 2007, and that is a reality, and I think that there's probably everyone in this committee has a bank account. I say everyone in this committee, the members, have some accounts, accounts of one kind or another. And one has learnt that it is very much a two-way street. This, whatever the committee does, cannot encourage either reckless lending or irresponsible borrowing, because it takes two to tango. But what we have found is very often, and by what I call a certain institutions that should not be lending money at all, in inverted commas, furniture shops, retail shops, for example, have a facility right in the shop which makes certain provisions for lending, and then the insurance right in the shop, you see. And this was raised several times in the past, in the previous committee. So the banks, when they came here, did indicate, many of them, that they have their own measures to try and assist their own clients. You may have been here when they gave that input, you know, in the public hearing. But what we are saying is some are doing it better than most. If they have encountered this, what you are saying is, if you haven't lent recklessly, what are you afraid of? Nothing. Because you have complied, you see. You've complied all along the line. But those who are lending recklessly, this will be a criminal offence. And there are some institutions lending recklessly. And that's another reality, as the Reserve Bank report will indicate. There is a need for this. And clearly, it is not every institution, and I must make that very, very clear. But I'm glad that at least you have made an input, because you are a valuable member of the committee, and I know you attend when you can, and you're not in energy. So I appreciate that, but we will ask somebody else if they can second it. Honourable Kurinoff, yes?
I do second it.
Thank you very much. On that, perhaps, Mr. Hermans, you will address where we are then with this.
Chairperson, after we've made the necessary corrections, it will be 80 seat in for this evening.
I would like, before you go out, Honourable Mkongi, to thank Advocate van der Merwe for your support and your continuing support of this. I would like to thank the Honourable Williams for your responsible chairing of the subcommittee, and all of the members who sat there, notwithstanding that both yourself and the DA played a core role in being there, I would think, at almost every meeting, if not every meeting. And the others, the Honourable Mantush, when she was not ill or whatever, was also there. And I thank you, Honourable Mantush. In his absence, I thank the Honourable Advocate Alberts. Thank you very much, all of you. And I know that the committee shares that appreciation. Thank you. Honourable Esterhazen, your comments are noted. And thank you very much for making them. Thank you. So, members, I would now like to turn to, you may leave to attend to your other commitments, Advocate van der Merwe. I would now, just before I say that, if there is a journalist in this room, I would request that you study this before misprinting anything or misinterpreting anything. Thank you. I will now ask members to apply their minds to the second set of minutes, and that is the 25th of November. Yeah, who's that? 25th. one, does it have, yes it does. Does the attendance register reflect the top, Honourable Mkongi, only on that question, only on the, what I've just asked? Does it reflect the attendance register, does it reflect what is on page one? Yes. Now I'll take other issues. Honourable Mkongi.
Yes, on page one, on the agenda, the last bullet, the engagement with stakeholders on the measures. There's on to the, on the measures to address debt relief. I feel that it's supposed to be a full stop after.
All the measures to address debt relief.
And then full stop, we don't talk about dealing with over indebtedness.
No, of course.
Yes.
Right. A present. In some ways you remind me of my days as a teacher. Right. Present. And one then had to be meticulous. You had every matriculant tripping you up. Right. Apologies. I don't have a reason for the apology of Honourable MacPherson, which is unusual. No, you know, he's very particular about that. You see, no, you know, really, Honourable Mr. Hoogerman's man, what were you on? Were you, did you borrow my asthma pump and go on a high? I mean, he took my asthma pump, decided to give him himself an extra shot of oxygen. Honourable, I think the Honourable MacPherson is probably, his ears are burning wherever he is at this stage. My apologies to him. I'm sure, Mr. Hermans, you'd also like to apologise. We don't know. Let me see what the attendance register says. There is an apology. I would like us to ascertain what the apology was, because I know he is meticulous where that is concerned. Right. And please, let's have a clean front page again. Right. Page one. Now, I know we're trying to increase our membership. Page two. By the committee dealing with legislation. You see, I'm looking at that. And I see you had an apology that day, Honourable Easterhuizen. I'm saying this because that may be why you felt out the loop, remember. And I thought you were present on that day. But that was a report back and you were not present on, at that stage. I think it becomes important for all members when they are, for whatever the reason, unable to make a meeting. Just check with the chair if they've missed anything important. All right, that applies to anyone and everyone. Page two. Input from the Black Sash. And then input from the Summit Financial Services. And finally, on page four, we have input from the National Clothing Retail Federation of South Africa. And you've got a blow-by-blow account here attached from Hansard. All right. So we have someone to propose with amendments, and I would like that page amended and in my office this afternoon. And to other members, please, just the first page. We have someone to propose the adoption of those minutes. Thanks, Honourable Hill Lewis, seconded by the Honourable Williams. Right. Well, on that fast note, we then straight into the Mexican
Well, I don't have those. Right, the 29th November, page 1, check the attendance register. In future, I want the agenda and documents for reference to note the date of all the minutes we are doing. All of them. Thank you. Right, 29th November, page 1. Is the attendance register, does it reflect what is on that page 1? Right, page 2. That was the second quarter financial, non-financial from DTI. Please keep those minutes, Honourable Williams. Yes.
Chairperson, on page 2, it says consideration of the memorandum of submission of the legislative proposal. And under bullet point 3.2, it says that Mr. Williams submitted the memorandum to the committee for consideration. The proposed memorandum was accepted by the committee. It was only accepted by the committee today and not on the 29th of November.
So it was accepted. It was not adopted. We did receive it, didn't we? And we asked you to study it. So accepted by the committee they could apply their minds. And we could today absolutely adopt it if necessary. Right. Page 3. It's wonderful to see we're now, our own aircraft now, I saw something, yes, production, aircraft, boats, guns, my word. Right. We have someone to propose adoption who was present. Honourable Montash, seconded by the Honourable Williams. Thank you. Right. All have the Mexican draft. Do you have it? With the conclusions either separately or now, I believe, Mr. Woodington has printed them together with the document. Is that right? Or whoever has printed them. Now, I have put those conclusions in because I went along with the Honourable Esterhazen. And Honourable Esterhazen, this is purely in proposed for our study, and when we come back in January to come in the first instance, the Honourable Esterhazen, you will come back, Honourable Esterhazen, with anything as a member of the delegation. And then we will invite, the rest of you. Is that clear? Right, thank you. So that's for distribution and to study until the next meeting, first meeting next year. Honourable Mkongi.
No, I just wanted clarity, Chairperson, on page 21.
Of what?
Of the report.
No, we're not discussing.
Oh, okay.
Right. I would like us all to have the chance to read it. Do you agree? Etc. Fine. Then we're coming to the program. Honourable Mantar.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've been sent a report by Mr. Hermans, and I had observed that from next year, we're sitting for committee on all Fridays. And that for me is problematic, Chairperson, because there are people whose travel means are limited. So it means those people will never be able to go home until at the end of the quarter. In each quarter, and that I think is unfair.
Right. Honourable Mantash, that would have to go to the Chief Whip separately because the committee has been given Tuesdays and Fridays. with the option of adding Thursday afternoons as an extra or Saturday morning. It is not my decision. So, what I can indicate on record is that I have also, Mr. Froelich was not aware of this, the Honourable Froelich, and he will study this, and obviously as chair of chairs of all the committees, he may make his own representations. And I think that may assist us. Do we agree? So I've made that point. I've also, as you know, Honourable Muntush, tried to accommodate those challenges. But we do appreciate what you're saying, but I must indicate to every person here that that has to be made to your own respective chief whip to go to the chief whip of Parliament. All right? Because it is not my decision. Thank you. Yes, Honourable Muntush.
I appreciate your response. And I wanted to make a proposal for you to convey to the Chair of Chairs that it would serve us better if we sit alternate Fridays, not all Fridays.
Well, my own proposal is slightly different. It is to sit on a Wednesday from 8 until 9:30, 9:45. That is my proposal as chair. All right? Honourable Van Skulpe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that will also assist, even though I'm attending a committee, but it's usually starting at 9:30. So otherwise it will assist.
Thank you very much. It is my earnest desire, members, to try and take these factors into account. All right? Thank you. Honourable Mkongi, we've got 10 minutes.
I was going to also propose, because I'm not sure whether it's Wednesdays, where we have an hour, we start at 3. I'm not sure if it's Wednesday or Thursdays, where we start at 3 in terms of the National Assembly.
Oh, yeah, on Wednesday, yeah. All right. Now take your point.
Look there.
Right. I'm trying to exercise my initiative, originality and everything. Thanks. All right. But because it is, I really do understand, all right? It's easy for me. I'm in Gauteng. All right. Now, for this one, you can see we've made certain proposals here. The oversized visit to the Eastern Cape and Gauteng. Ah, right. Industrial parks. Visiting the NRCS, please inform Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Hill Lewis, we will be making a visit there. It is also my intention, in compliance with the, not request, but the kind of instruction borders on that, that we should, an encouragement to hold a committee meeting outside of Parliament in Cape Town. It is our intention to do that, as you know, we've done it in the past, to have a committee meeting in Pretoria, okay, and then to visit the NRCS. Honourable Quernel?
Chair, can we add maybe a visit to the film studios in Cape Town?
Well, we are going there for the public hearings anyway, for the Performers Bill. So we didn't think we needed an oversight, you know, we are going there. Right, then you see regulations, you see that promotion of the investment, etc., the briefing, all of these things happening in February. I'm looking for there's SONA there, there's NCC, there is the Performance Protection Bill, 17th February, the earliest, do you see that? Right, then we have the public hearings, you see, etc., and then all of these public hearings, okay? Where is, she's gone, but I believe that the committee bill will take at least 3 months before it gets here, if that is agreed to by Parliament, all right? And then March, you're still running around with performers. It's a small bill, so it is our intention to complete it, it seems, pretty late in March, which I find strange. I thought we had another bill at that point.
Oh,
Yes, the copyright bill's coming. So may I suggest we also factor in a briefing, at the very least, Mr. Hermans, round about the 14th of March. And at least we do the consideration of performers on the 10th. Yeah. Now, I'm just saying this for our benefit, all right? Human Rights Day. And then the formal consideration, no, we would have done that earlier. Do you see that? So we would like something slotted in there along the lines of, I think we, if we can do the copyright here in March, all right? And we'll see that you get a copy, a revised copy of the program, either this afternoon or tomorrow morning, all right, by email. Please give us all of your emails, you know, those ones that you keep under wraps, that which you use for your families. I want them. We would like them, because how do we communicate in an emergency? We can't. So you can hear from me in December and January. Honorable Mantash.
The reason why I'm laughing is that Mr. Andre has sent me an email on an email address I don't know, as I've seen on the summary from Honorable Van Skalwijk. My other email, other than the Team Mantash at Parliament, which is always sometimes off, I use ptmantash at Gmail, not at Yahoo.
No, Mr. Hermans is going to do some administration on this. What he's going to do with Mr. Whittington's help is to email you and put it into your physical mailbox to tell us what all your emails are in your own handwriting. Thank you. And all those unusual telephone numbers you use in December and January. Thank you. When we can never get hold of you. Right. And what you need to know about oversight, the new rules make it clear that when you go on oversight and you commit yourself, yes, confirm, yes, you will then pay for any change in flight or accommodation. You will bear the cost yourself as an individual, unless you are late, you know, late, gone, left this world, or unless a close member of your family has passed on, or you are in hospital with your leg in some contraption or in intensive care. That's right. But as long as you are walking on crutches, you will attend. Otherwise, you will pay. You will pay for that. No one is coming to me over a glass of wine to tell me they're leaving early. Thank you. Mr. Hermans has to give you this officially, right now in 30 seconds. Mr. Herman.
Chair, we received communication from the House Chairperson regarding what you've mentioned, is when members is expected to facilitate their own changes and bear associated costs. They cannot use the travel agency that Parliament use. So they have to use their own another travel agency if there's any changes that they wish to make. But it will be at members' cost, at members' initiation, and they cannot use the travel agency that Parliament utilizes. Members will also be required, when we travel, to complete this form where they would sign that they've agreed to the travel conditions. And so though there's no, and which we signed eventually by the chairperson, because of the fruitless expenditure of the constant changes of flights and stuff like that. So we are required to do that. So during the constituency period, we will probably send members this list for them to sign and scan it back to us so that we can consolidate the process for the oversight visit in January.
And finally, I would like to say thank you for your hard work, your commitments, your diligent oversight from all political parties and all members of this committee. I have enjoyed working with you, Thank you very much. Thank you very much to the Honorable Williams for often standing in and acting as chair. Thank you. Thank you to all staff members who are sitting here. I do appreciate it, even if I have not expressed this clearly in writing. Thank you to all of you. And for those who do celebrate Christmas, enjoy a happy and holy Christmas with your families. For those who are simply going on holiday, enjoy the same period with your families. Try to see your spouses and children. Drive safely. And remember, at all times, you are members of Parliament. You actually, you don't sort of, that doesn't go to sleep, member of Parliament. You remember that wherever you are. Do not bring Parliament into disrepute by your actions. Thank you very, very much, all of you. God rest, God speed you on your journeys to your families. Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Till next year, 2017.